Welcome to Cannabis Elevated, a podcast offering insight into the evolving cannabis industry directly from the industry leaders. In this episode, Jerry Silva, founder of Will Cannabis Group, weighs in on some of the big issues you encounter on the road to becoming a licensed producer of cannabis in Canada. With growing competition and steep requirements, the process can be just as challenging as it is rewarding.
Welcome to Cannabis Elevated. This is Danny Valentino, Vice President of Technology. Here in the Toronto office, I have with me Jerry Silva. Jerry is a senior person in charge at Will Cannabis Group. Jerry has experience as one of the early producers, and he's here to tell us how he got Will off the ground. Jerry, welcome.
Thank you, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Welcome. Jerry, you got to give us some backstory here. I know the story, but for our listeners, what is your background by trade and how did you end up in the world of cannabis?
I graduated out of college as a mechanical engineer technologist. My first job out of school, I worked for Bombardier Aerospace, based in Toronto and at one point in Montreal. I worked as a project management in the business jet and commercial division. I worked in design, build, and flight test programs of the Global Express BizJet and the Dash A400 series that you see fly out of Toronto Island every day.
So, okay, so it's great, great background. How did Will come about? How did you start growing cannabis and with Will Cannabis Group?
Well, it's a long story. It pretty much started with, in 2013, I was fortunate to have friends that were designated growers. They were growing medical marijuana for patients. It was the first program Health Canada launched called MMAR, which was Marijuana for Medical Access Regulations. Anyway, we learned that Health Canada was preparing some regulatory infrastructure that would change the current program that was in place, and at that time would create patients having more access to medical marijuana. So once we caught wind of this, we had our lawyer request Health Canada for the first drafts of the regulations of this new program that was called the MMPR, which would be Marijuana for Medical Purposes Regulations. And from there, we rolled up our sleeves and we got to work.
And did you know what you were getting yourself into? I've been at your operation. I've been there. I mean, really, you probably had no idea, but tell us.
Well, it was a long process. We put an application. We started in July of 2013, and by the time it took about 3 to 4 months to actually put the application together and submit it to Health Canada. Did I know what I was getting into? Not really. To be honest, I never shy away from a challenge. But there was a point where me and my group actually almost gave up. I say this because we went through a lot of hardships. First and foremost, you have to wrap your mind around the fact that you're working alongside Health Canada to scale out the production of marijuana and to make it accessible for patients nationwide, which at this time was considered a narcotic. We were not the only ones submitting. There was a long lineup of applicants who applied. Health Canada wasn't prepared for the massive rush of applicants.
Right, right.
At one point, at
and
the
what
end
year
of
was this, Jerry? How long ago was this?
This was in 2013 when we actually got the regs, and in the fall of 2013 is when we actually submitted.
Gotcha.
By the end of 2014, Health Canada was giving us numbers that they, forgive them as they were, going through the applications, but they had received 3,000 applications at that point.
Right.
And just to kind of give you a kind of insight on the hurdles that we went through, basically the MMMPR regulations weren't very clear. I had no previous history working with Health Canada in the drug space, and it was a very difficult process to learn. There was a lot of requirements to meet. Just to mention a few, here's the biggest one: procuring a location was a major obstacle. No landlord was willing to lease us their property at that time. So our only option was to buy. And again, we bought the site with no certainty that Health Canada would actually approve.
Oh, wow.
Or the municipality would approve.
Right.
So Will, the site is 33,000 square feet, and it remained empty for 3 years while we waited to go through the screening process. And so you can imagine the financial burn we incurred And never knowing if Health Canada would ever allow our application to progress further, only later in 2016, when we got the head nod from Health Canada to proceed, we started building our site.
Right. So, you know, Jerry, the hardest part of this was it working with Health Canada? Was it, you know, the financial burden? Was it the regulations, like the unknown? Like, what was the hardest part if you were to you know, sum it down?
I think it was the amount of time it took from submitting the application in late 2013 and from getting the head nod from Health Canada that we could start building.
Yeah.
We were very proud to become licensed producer number 74, November 17, 2017.
Yeah.
It's like a big day in my life, you know. After waiting 4 years, we burned through a lot of energy, time, money, and to that point, it could have just went to nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it must be rewarding. Like, you came from this aerospace engineering background. It's, you know, you pivot, changed. Like, what would you describe the most rewarding part? You know, everything coming to fruition? Was it, being able to start to grow? Like, tell me, what was the most rewarding part?
Well, becoming an LP, it was something that I expected because I did everything I said I was going to do in my application at Health Canada. I actually went through the process of screening. So once I became an LP, I was happy for a day. And then the next part of it was, you know, actually the business that had to go behind it. So you become an LP, you're allowed to cultivate, and now you got to actually start the business of growing, staffing up. And to me, my biggest reward will be once we have a sales license, because it will be like full circle. I started from pen and paper with my group to getting sales and then getting our product out there to medical patients that need it and the rec market.
Yeah. Now, for those listeners who may not know, LP is licensed producers. They're the ones who Health Canada allows to grow cannabis. You know, I want to get into now when you met GrowForce and, you know, when that process started, you know, and what made you decide to join GrowForce, the GrowForce team?
We met GrowForce team, I guess, late February this year. Once we got listed on Health Canada's website as a licensed producer, it validated who we were. And there was a lot of interested parties wanting to partner up with us. After 4 years of doing this on our own, we as a team decided that it would be a good idea to bring on a partner that could add value and help us operate and scale the business to meet what the market demand was going to be. Mm-hmm. With GrowForce's partnership with MRD and in Canada, at that time I believed it would be the best partner to move forward with us.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry, I got to ask you this question. Not a loaded question, but being an experienced producer, one of the earliest producers, and you know, October 17th is coming past, would you do it all over again? Knowing what you know, jurisdictions across the country are selling out, you know, demand is outweighing supply. Would you do it all over again? Would you do it differently?
I would not. I think until Health Canada actually speeds things up, it's a big cash drain and it's a time drain. And I believe that if you do it, you can succeed. But you have to be prepared now that there's a marketplace setting up and the competition is going to be stiffer.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a harder chance to make it.
Right.
As when you're a first mover, you raise enough money and you're going to start getting, you know, your product out there and create your brand name. It's going to be a lot harder to start from zero.
Right. So, yeah, and I see it's going to go commodity-based. Is that the direction?
Well, I don't think it would be commodity. I mean, I think it will be with outdoor product because really that's just a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
I think what was ideal about working with GrowForce is that, and MRD, is that they only do indoor grows that, you know, are yielding like high-quality product.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the marketplace, so, you know, from the reports that I'm reading on people that are doing, I guess, research on all the product that's sold across the board, it's all the high quality strains that are being bought and sold out.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you're, and it costs more to produce these products, but you can charge more per gram.
Okay, so Jerry, do you think this market will commoditize?
I don't think so. I believe that with exporting to other countries, I see there's 465 countries, say 10% actually want to legalize marijuana or at least have their patients access medical marijuana. We can export to those countries, and by the time they roll around their own programs, like, you know, they'll probably model them after the Canadian one. Mm-hmm. It'll take them 3 to 5 years, just like it took us.
Yeah.
So I don't see this business commoditizing for at least another 10 years.
Jerry, I could keep going on all day, but I won't. Thank you for coming into the office.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
I think it was a really good insight into experience in growing cannabis, and we'll do this all over.
Very good.
That's it for this week's episode. Be sure to catch the next one at CannabisElevated.com or on your favorite streaming service. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all things Cannabis Elevated. Thanks for listening.